Well, good morning once again.
Good morning.
Yeah, a lot of stuff going on in the world today, as usual. A lot of interesting things happening in the world with fires continuing, great tragedies happening, all kinds of world events shaping up. And if any of you spend time reading blogs on the internet, or you see news online, or you're on Facebook and you have a whole lot of friends and you spend any time at all looking at their memes, you know, those little pictures that come up, you may have noticed something that I've seen. And it's the rise, I've seen this rise amongst my friends, some of whom were at one time Bible-believing, born-again Christians. They were following God and walking in the ways of the Bible. But something happened, and I've seen this rise in the prevalence of atheism amongst Americans, and indeed around the world. When Tammy and I were in France a few years back, learning that there's a lot of worldly ideas that go on there. We saw some things that in Paris especially, right? There was the one guy that was coming up and just cursing us all, cursing people. And talking with some of the missionaries that live there, there is a great deal of atheism as well as agnosticism. And I can accept those that are agnostic. I really can. I can accept the atheist as well, but I can accept the agnostic a little bit more, because they're the ones that question. Agnosticism simply is the one that says they don't know. They don't know everything, unlike some people I know in the back. They don't know everything. They don't know if there is a God, or they don't know if there isn't. They haven't made up their mind. But the atheist, they've made a decision based on what they see as scientific evidence, as evidence of what they perceive with their five senses. And they have made the determination, they reject the idea of a deity. They reject the idea of a supreme being, of a creator. They reject the idea of the spiritual dimension, the spiritual world. But yet, just like Christians, just like any other faith, any other belief, any other religious system, amongst atheists, there are those who are relatively moral. You know what I mean? They're good to their families. They're good to their kids. They're good to their neighbors. They give to charities. They want to see people loved and accepted, and those sorts of things. Yet they reject the idea or notion of God. And a lot of times, as I've seen some of my friends there on the old Facebook, they'll quote certain writings, like Dawkins or Hitchens, those that have been accepted as some pretty big names in the atheist. Bertrand Russell, who had a book called Why I Don't Believe in God, Why I'm Not a Christian. And they'll quote these books, and they can sound really good. They're intellectual. And a lot of times, I'll see my other friends, my Christian friends, get on there and begin to argue. Now, those of you who've known me for a long time know that I love a good argument. But over the last couple of years, that's kind of settled down within me. And I've received this idea, you know, that and I've shared this with some of you, to live and let live. You know, rather than get involved in some of these battles, like to eat a Chick-fil-A or not eat a Chick-fil-A, to accept gay marriage, homosexual marriage, or to not accept it, you know, to engage in those battles. We know what the Bible says. We know what God has taught. We know what's going on here. But Jesus did say, let the weeds grow up with the wheat, and it'll be sorted out at the harvest. So our job is not to be the judge and jury and to bring condemnation.
Absolutely.
Our job is to love. Yeah, to love unconditionally. To love God, to love our neighbor, to love our enemy. And I mean, to the atheist, those who adhere to the idea, and I would call it a religion. Atheism is a religion because you have to believe that there is no God. You have to believe that science is the final word. Because they go based on their five senses, what they see, what they hear, what they taste, what they touch. All those, and there's one other one, I don't remember what the five senses are, because I've had, yeah, what they smell. And some of their ideas really stink. Okay, but that's just my opinion. I don't want to cloud up, you know, any kind of teaching with my own opinion. Yeah, I do. That's what I do. Yeah, I agree. But sometimes Christians can be rather offensive. You know, back in the days when I used to get along, you know, go along with the March for Jesus, or you know, the pro-life movement, and stand out there, and I would see my fellow Christians yelling at the abortion doctors at these clinics and yelling out at the girls that were going in for whatever reason, you know, to see the doctor, to get an abortion, whatever it was. And don't you know you're murdering your baby? Well, where's the love in that? Really? You know, and sometimes we can, as Christians, I saw us being more and more confrontational. A lot of times we'll quote the Bible either to our co-workers, to our friends, to people that we meet in that safe, anonymous place called the internet, which is relatively anonymous because we can say things to somebody in typing in those words that we would never say face to face because we don't want to hurt their feelings, we don't want to get a punch in the nose. You know, we don't want it to go any further. But Christians, sometimes, boy, we can just be so offensive. How many times have we heard, you know, that so-and-so is an atheist, and we quote this very verse, Psalm 14, verse 1. The fool says there is no God. That's a strong word. To call another person a fool. And Jesus said later on, he said, don't call anyone a fool. You know, don't, you idiot, you moron, you putz. Don't say those things. Don't call somebody a fool. Now, but that's in the Bible. The fool says there is no God. But who was speaking this psalm? Who was singing this song from the book? Well, David wrote it, it says. He's been given credit to penning that psalm. And it was for the great choir director. For God Almighty. That's who, it's making this declaration. No, it's not something that we necessarily would have to share with an atheist and say, well, the fool says in his heart there is no God. I'll call him a fool. A lot of them are very educated. Just like many of us. Highly educated. Very learned. Probably, we're probably too smart for our own good sometimes, or we know just enough to be dangerous in many areas, and I think that's maybe everyone. No, I know a little bit over here. Let me go see if I can put my fingers to it, and I made the problem worse. Because I know this enough to be dangerous. There's knowledge, and the Word of God tells us that knowledge puffs up, right? It gives us this idea in our brain, in our everything. I know these things. I know the dates and the times of history. I know anatomy. I know things in the scientific realm. I know literature. I know films. You know, whatever it is that we might say we have knowledge of. We know cellular structure. We know chemistry. There's these different things that we can know. We know aerodynamics, right? We know these things. Principles of physics. Knowledge. There's knowledge, then there's reason. There's reason. And you know, the Bible does say, I've shared this time and time again, in Isaiah, the Lord speaks and says, come now, let us reason together. To use our brains, to have the logic, which was very huge during the time of the Greeks. They used a lot of logic. And we use that now in trying to figure out problems. In fact, logic is one of those things in the computer realm, right? In the computer world, having logic. You've got to have these certain commands in order. And way back when I was learning BASIC and Fortran and what was it, COBOL, and these other, you know, programming things, way back in the early 80s in high school, you had to write out the commands. You guys remember that? Any of you that have done some programming, you know, or you write code, there's all these different, you know, if, then, you know, go to, all those different lines that we had to memorize. And, you know, now we've got these, the little mouse and the interface, and it just, yeah, just, we don't have to think, you know. And every time, well, not every time, but many times when I use the mouse and things aren't working right, now that we have the wireless, but back when we had, I used to do the old Star Trek thing, remember the movie, you know, where Scotty goes in and, you know, we'll use the mouse, and he says, oh, how quaint, and he picks it up and he says, hello, you know, because he's coming back from the 25th century or something and coming back to the 1980s and trying to do, anyway, that's one of my rabbit trails. So reason and science and logic, knowledge. At some point, don't those things fail us? Like, we just don't understand. There's no understanding. There is no reason. There is no logic. There is no rhyme for some of the things that may be taking place in our own personal lives. Why did this happen? And for me, when I have discussions or I see things in print or on the internet, or I have conversations with people and they ask questions, I can safely say, well, you know what? I don't know. I can't answer that question as to where God is. Or, you know, I can't say things like, oh, can you make a leaf? You know, do you really know how a tree grows? Where did all this stuff come from? And for me, ever since I was a small boy, you know, I remember being 5 years old and looking at ants and looking at a blade of grass and just being very inquisitive. I don't know if any of you were like that when you were kids, you know, but just going out and picking up rocks and just looking at them, you know, feeling them, looking at them, studying them, and being, where did they come from? Where did I come from? Who am I and why am I here? I hope, first of all, I know, but I hope that there is indeed this being, this entity that is greater than me, that has answers, that can tell me who I am and why I'm here. And I think that's something that we all struggle with. Well, science cannot answer that question.
One of the greatest minds that ever lived, according to the Bible, was King Solomon. It says that he was the wisest man ever. He was the one, he went out and he studied botany. You know, he studied animal husbandry, you know, zoology, all these different things. And he laid out, you know, it would be really nice to have books that he actually had written, you know, on some of those topics.
And you see, you know, geology, geography, all those different things that he studied, things that he knew about. Yet, in the Proverbs, he talks about, and I didn't put it down, and I don't remember the address in the book here, but you know, what is it, the five things I know, or the six things I know, but the seventh is really beyond me. And one of those things is the way of a man with a maiden. You know, Solomon had some of these things over here figured out, but there was always that one thing that was elusive, one thing that was beyond him, one thing that was beyond reason. And it's like, I just don't understand love. I don't understand how a man can court a woman, and what does he see, and then what does she see in him, and how does this work? This chemistry, this stuff, you know? And I'm still fascinated by how babies, you know, the egg and all that stuff that goes on, how that happens. And it happened by accident. There was no cause other than evolution. And to me, it takes more faith to believe in that evolution, in a theory, than it does to believe in God and a greater purpose. But that's just me. One thing that another great mind of the past century, I think he had a great mind, was Albert Einstein. He had a lot of wild ideas. You know, he came up with a lot of different ideas, and he worked with other people and bounced ideas off of them. And there's some that say that some of his greatest work was actually not his own. Some other people he worked with contributed, but you can look that up on your own. But one of the things that he said, Albert Einstein said that his best ideas came when he stopped thinking logically. He used his imagination. He began to think illogically. He began to say, well, why? Well, what if? What if this? What if that? And time and time again, we can see in the Bible where logic, where reason is just thrown out the window. One of my favorite stories is about the axe that floated. Now we know that cast iron sinks, and they used to make sinks out of cast iron. But now they make them pretty much out of stainless steel and marble and ceramic and all porcelain, all that kind of stuff. But axe heads do not float. The axe handle, if you remove it from the head, may float, right? Because wood floats. And so do witches, right? Because a witch is lighter than a duck. And, sorry. That's really out there now. You guys don't know that? You've never heard that before? A witch. They used to do that back in the olden days, back during the witch hunts. That a witch was lighter than a duck, and you would put her on this little teeter-totter kind of thing and hold her under the water. Or, you know, if she floated, she was a witch. And if she drowned, oh, we were mistaken, she wasn't a witch. Boy, look at the logic in that, you know, trying to figure this stuff out. And so the atheists use that kind of thing. You know, they talk about the Crusades. How many Christians, you know, went out and murdered, killed, in the name of God, all these Muslims, all these Moorish people, you know, for the sake of releasing Jerusalem way back during the Crusades. Or the Spanish Inquisition, which no one expects, the Spanish Inquisition. But they were there. And hundreds of people, you read Fox's Book of Martyrs, and how many people were put to death during the Spanish Inquisition. You know, they were tested. Their faith was tested. And, you know, well, you are a witch. The witch trials here in this country were pretty much bogus. You know, people making stuff up. But I digress. There is the place where reason fails and faith takes over. And I've never heard an atheist be able to explain those things. You know, yeah, you can have certain scientists, biologists, physiologists, neurologists that can go in there and they can hook up, you know, leads to our heads, and they can do all this study of our brains, and they can do MRIs, and they can figure out, well, you know, what is in the mind of one who commits manslaughter or first degree murder? You know, what is in the mind of someone who commits rape or the mind of a pedophile? What is in the mind of someone who is brilliant? You know, a young child who is a prodigy, who comes up and you know, graduates high school by the time they're 9 and graduates from college by the time they're, you know, they're 12, and they can be, you know, all these things, you know, musical virtuosos, and they can think, well, what's going on in their mind? Some of us that have had family members that have suffered through Alzheimer's and the like, those different things. Other diseases that we may see our family members or ourselves struggling with, fighting with. We can figure some of this stuff out. But the mind, how that works, how that functions. It's just, you know, where are we going, you know? Way back in the 1960s, long before I was born, but some of you, you know, not so much, you were here. You know, you were probably witness to this. But way back then, a woman by the name of Madeline Murray O'Hare. Anybody remember her? Anybody? Yeah. What? She was the one that came along, was a very big proponent of stopping prayer in public schools here in the United States. She was the one that wanted to see the separation of church and state take place. Let's stop prayer in public schools. Let's get In God We Trust off our mind. Let's take the idea of God out of some of our patriotic songs. Let's stop singing those things at public events. Let's get the Ten Commandments out of our courtrooms. She was the one that started that, you know, a big proponent, because she didn't want her children to be raised in a society where, we've heard this phrase, where God and the Bible were shoved down their throats. You know, and sometimes Christians, we have a way of doing that. Not any of us in here, I know. But, you know, those outside where they stand in the corners and, you know, they have Bibles in there actually. You know, they open up in there. I think like a cartoon. I really do. That's how I see things. And like the cartoon, like there's somebody out there on the corner, they have a Bible, and they just go up, and then like the mouth becomes very huge, and they take the Bible. And like, here you go. This is God's stuff. But Madeline Murray O'Hare was a big proponent of introducing an atheist idea, an atheist kind of logic into our public schools. And it's held on. Many times I've seen a lot of students, and I remember back when I was in college, before I went to a Christian university, that there was a huge number of professors that were of the liberal-leaning side of things. And there was always kind of like ridicule that took place. If you were one who was of faith, if you believed in God, or a God, or gods, whatever it was, you were ridiculed for thinking those things. And it's become more, you know, it's really a great proliferation of these professors, these teachers, who are challenging students who are coming in, raised in Christian homes, or Jewish homes, or what have you, and they go to university, and their ideas and their faith is challenged in such a way that they, why do I believe this stuff? Why do I believe this? You know, that there is some invisible best friend that I can talk to, and he doesn't exist. So their faith is challenged. But how many universities, how many places of higher education were actually started by the church? Right? You know, because people of faith, you know, for me, I'm still hungry for knowledge. I still want to know. That same little boy that used to look at ants, the same little boy that used to look at the rocks, that used to look at leaves, that, you know, wanted to know why, would sit there and watch birds fly. Just, you know, having a good time. Just checking it out. Want to know why. Think it was really cool. And history, looking at people and how different people interact, and just hungry for knowledge. But Jesus, and this is a big deal right here. In Romans chapter 9, Paul quotes the Old Testament in Romans chapter 9, verse 30. It says, "What shall we say then? That Gentiles who did not pursue righteousness attained righteousness, even the righteousness which is by faith. But Israel, pursuing a law of righteousness, did not arrive at that law. Why? Because they did not pursue it by faith, but as though it were by works. They stumbled over a stumbling stone." Jews and Gentiles alike stumbling over a stumbling stone. So, you know, they're pursuing these different things, but it's not by faith. And they get to this place where they trip up this stumbling stone. And it says in Romans 9:33, "Behold, I lay in Zion a stone of stumbling and a rock of offense, and he who believes in him will not be disappointed." Jesus Christ is the rock of offense. And we started back quoting from Psalm 14:1, "The fool says in his heart there is no God." And in my mind, if I were to say that to an atheist, that is very offensive. To say, "You are a fool." That can be taken as, okay, well, the wall goes up. Can't talk to him about Jesus now because Jesus is a stumbling stone. Let him be the stumbling stone. Not me, not you, not us. You know, not to bring up the word of God. Like, aha, I got you now, sucker. It's okay, you know, and there may be a fine line where, okay, well, you know, this is what I believe. Let me share this. Let's have a discussion without getting heated. And I see, you know, these great debates that go on online, and pretty soon it reverts to name calling. You know, and saw a lot of that. I don't know if any of you saw the clip that was posted to YouTube. There was a guy that went to a Chick-fil-A and started chewing out the girl who was working the drive-thru. You know, about, don't you know you work for a company that doesn't accept people, and, you know, the gay bashers and all this kind of thing. And she's like, "Is there anything else, sir?" You know, and just answered with, you know, did you see that? Didn't anybody see that? She just answered with kindness. You know, all that stuff. just, well, you have a nice day. And then he came back and he said, well, I'm not gay. And it's like, well, what does that have to do with anything, you moron? Oh, sorry.
Sorry.
You know.
That's key.
Yeah, that was me. Just, and you know, I come back to my point, just live and let live. You know, love people. There's several of us sitting in this room who have family members who are homosexual. Do we despise them? No, we love them. We accept them for who they are. We may think, okay, you're lost as a rock and you're really, but we still love them. They're part of our family. We pray for them. We want to have discussion with them. They think we're just as crazy as we think they are, you know, for our faith in this invisible friend that we can talk to at any time, who gives us things and, you know, tells us to kill women who aren't virgins and, you know, to smite the homosexual and, you know, all these different things that they bring up from the Old Testament. But Jesus did say one very important thing. He said, all will know you are my disciples by your love for one another. And I think it goes beyond that. You know, without adding to the words that Jesus spoke, we can extrapolate from other things that he said to say, all men will know you are my disciples by your love one for another. And by your love for your fellow man. Or, how do you say fellow woman? No, that's kind of.
But people will know that we follow Jesus by our love. And one of the big deal, you know, 1 Corinthians is all about love. You know, love
doesn't call names, you know, it doesn't hold account of it doesn't keep a track of wrongs and all those different things that 1 Corinthians 13 tells us. The sandwich right there in the middle of what the church is supposed to be. As I contemplated these things, you know, as I've looked at these different memes online, and as I've gone to these different blogs and read a lot of different things, seeing very, very often the argument spirals to an argument between belief in creation and a creator or intelligent design, or a belief in evolution. And science. And the argument becomes the key factor. That's not the argument. That should be the argument. You know, there's something greater.
Oftentimes the argument falls down between, you know, well, is there a God or is there no God?
Well, how do you prove that he exists? How do you prove someone else your faith? Now, I can give reasons for the faith that lies within me.
I can lay it out logically to someone,
but they can reject it because they don't see it. The Word of God says that the Bible is spiritually discerned, meaning it's spiritually understood. A lot of times the atheists will quote the Bible and they'll quote it out of context, just like a lot of Christians do.
But they'll quote it out of context and use it to support their
ideas.
But they don't get it right because the Bible is spiritually discerned. It's spiritually understood. And they're not taking things line upon line, precept upon precept. They don't have a systematic theology laid out to be able to understand and to know who's talking. Is that God speaking or is that a man speaking? Is it figurative or literal? Well, do you believe in a literal translation of the Bible? Or do you, you know, a literal interpretation of the Bible?
Well, not really. I believe that it's God's word from cover to cover.
But as far as literal, you know, some things that are metaphorical, right? There are certain things that we say, okay, well, that's metaphorical. That's poetry. I don't wanna step on any toes, but that's just how I see things. There are some things that are taken, you know, the words of Jesus that we're to take literally. But do we gouge out our eyes? Do we cut off our hands? You know, there's some things that we don't take literally. It's a figurative thing. Boy, would it be crazy if people started doing that stuff. Another very important thing that I thought this week as I was contemplating these things and really thinking about it is that atheists are not our enemy. Just like back when I talked with us about when we spoke about the Muslim community, they're not our enemy. Peter said that our enemy, the devil, goes around like a roaring lion seeking someone to devour. Who's the enemy? You know, it's not our neighbor, it's not our co-worker, it's not our boss. The enemy is not, you know, liberal or Democrat or conservative Republican, communism, socialism, whatever it is, that's not the enemy. The enemy is spiritual. The enemy is not the atheist. We're supposed to be loving them. We're supposed to be loving the people that share the planet with us. And I think it speaks of the end times, honestly, this rise of atheism. Is it's increasing. It hasn't, you know, it's always been around. It's always been around. There have been those that just don't believe. And there are those that will continue to not believe. There will be those who continue to reject God. That's what the Bible talks about. You know, there's going to be, and it's sad. You know, and for those of us that might say, well, I've got my ticket to heaven. I'm going to be with Jesus for all eternity. I'm going there. This could be a really rough thing. Because we have family members and friends, people we know, who've made a decision. And where are they going? Some people say, well, that doesn't matter. Don't worry about it. You're going. That's up to them. No, it matters. It should matter to us. It really should. It should grieve our hearts. You know, the Bible says it grieves the Father's heart. When someone rejects Him. And remember when Israel said they wanted a king, way back when? We want to be like other nations. We want to have a king. And Samuel the prophet was like, oh no. You know, this is crazy. Why do you want that? And the Lord spoke to Samuel and said, look, they're not rejecting you. God said, they're rejecting me. You know, who's fighting the battle? Doesn't have to be us. Doesn't have to be us. You know? Let the real warrior fight the battle. All we gotta do is love. You know, that's all we gotta do. Love one another. Give a reason for the hope that lies within us. And if someone rejects it, you know, don't punch them in the nose. Figuratively or literally. You know, even though you might want to. There's some things that are kind of tough to decide. But the atheist is not our enemy. So, Father, we want to thank You for Your patience and for Your mercy. For that point where we may have walked into the stumbling block in our own life and You took a moment, just like Jacob, who was out there pursuing something that he should have been pursuing, and you woke him up in the middle of the night. And wrestled with Him. He was using a rock as a pillow. And to me that is just significant as a symbolism for a stumbling block where You stopped and met with Him. And You changed His walk. And You changed His name from Jacob to Israel. And that's how You work with us. There comes a time where we come into that stumbling stone and You work within us and You change our name and You change our walk. And Holy Spirit, I pray that You would be our strength. Be our fortress and our rock. Pray that You would be the warrior. That You would help us to understand who our real enemy is. And that You would give us the same mercy and grace and compassion and understanding that you've afforded us, that You've laid out before us, and that each one of us has received. Have Your way, Lord. Have Your way. Help us to be a people who love one another more and more. a people who learn to love our neighbor and to come to a place where we understand that honestly we don't really have any enemies but one. Help us be a people who brings hope to a hurting world. We give you praise and glory in Jesus' name.
Amen.
Amen. God bless you all. I hope you all have a great week. And the Lord really begins to move in your heart in some of these things with knowledge is going, like it says in Daniel. I think it was Daniel chapter 9, chapter 12. Daniel chapter 12 talked about knowledge. People would go to and fro over the face of the earth, and seeking after knowledge. And I remember way back when I first started hearing about this idea. First, it was the is it intranet? The one that's inside within a company building.
Intranet.
You know, and I was working with somebody, and we were putting in an email system, and it was just for that company, for their computers to talk to each other. And then we were on this topic, and it's like, yeah, well, it's coming, where it's going to be not just within the building, it's going to be really like where you have the military already doing it, and NASA and all that, where they had their internet. It was coming for all of them. And I started to look at that and say, you know, this is where knowledge increases, and it begins to go to and fro over the face of the earth. And in an instant, you have a question. Jeffrey asked last night, it's like, well, what color is made black? He has to do some, and praise God, Jeffrey has been selected. He's a selected new chief. Is that awesome?
Yes.
You know, and he's been trying, you know, filling out the paperwork for a long time, and I don't think he's going to be a chief for very long, because I think that his next step is jumping right over everything and going right to officer. He's filled out that paperwork. They've had him going to Tennessee for some lunches and that sort of thing. And the guy's moved up through the ranks very quickly. God's hand is definitely on that guy. And what a generous man, what an example of a Christian. So anyway, go with God today and have a great week. And Pastor Don will be back next Sunday. Yes.
As a footnote, like you need your notes on your feet, our job is not to persecute or to go out and force people into Christianity. Our job is to spread the word. And you can't argue with an atheist with the Bible. Mm-hmm. They don't believe it.
Yeah.
It's a spiritual battle.
Yeah, it's using the wrong weapon. Yeah.
I would ask something very radical of everybody. My friend Teresa, our friend Teresa, has